Let's get specific. What will it take for Congress to raise the federal debt limit?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's the Morning Open. A look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, what'll it take to get a deal to raise the debt ceiling? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are mixed right now. The Dow is down 11 points, about 0.1% at 12,139. The Nasdaq basically flat, and the S&P 500 down 0.3%. It appears the high cost of fuel is making airline tickets just a tad too pricey for consumers. The International Air Transport Association just cut its profit forecast for this year in half. It now says airlines will make $4 billion in 2011. Well, Vice President Biden will meet with members of Congress again this week to try and reach a deal to raise the federal debt ceiling. The Treasury Department has said the nation will start defaulting on its obligations if there's no deal by early August. Last week on this show, we spoke with Jared Bernstein, the former chief economist for Vice President Biden, about this issue. This morning, we're pleased to welcome conservative economist Douglas Holtz Aiken, who heads the American Action Forum. Welcome to Marketplace.
Happy to be here.
Well, you think that Congress will raise the debt ceiling in the end. What do you think is going to be necessary for them to do that?
I think that in order for it to happen, there will have to be associated with it some real cuts in spending, both in the near term and then some changes to the long-term entitlement programs, the big one being Medicare, which would demonstrate to financial markets that we're serious about the real core problem.
Do you have a ballpark figure in terms of how big those cuts might end up being?
The Speaker of the House, John Boehner, has said that he would like to see more in cuts than the increase in the debt limit. And so that gives you a ballpark. If you want a bigger debt limit increase, you need more cuts.
We're talking hundreds of billions of dollars.
I think there's no question the U.S. problem is a trillion-dollar problem. So anyone who is playing with small billions is in the wrong ballpark.
Would conservatives like you accept tax increases as part of the deal?
There's no real intellectual case to be made for the tax increases. If you look around the globe at countries that have a simultaneous growth problem, and we have a very bad growth problem, and a budget problem, the recipe for success has been to keep taxes low and then cut spending on transfer programs and government employment. That really is a playbook that the U.S. should run and be much more successful.
Well, some people would disagree with that, but the argument that would be made is if the poor are going to have to suffer in terms of cuts to services they rely on, why shouldn't the rich also have to suffer a little bit in terms of paying some more taxes?
Raising taxes is not going to be good for growth, period. And so the question then is, can you have a balanced package of spending restrictions, which affects both the affluent and the poor? And the answer, of course, is yes.
If you look overseas, you see the United Kingdom, which enacted steep cuts to get their deficits under control, and their economy is now shrinking. Isn't that evidence that if we make big budget cuts, that's exactly what's going to happen here?
Well, I think if you look at what we're doing right now, we're perilously close to being in that position anyway. So what we really have to do is build a stronger foundation for jobs. And sailing directly into what the president's chairman of his fiscal commission said was the most predictable crisis in history. We will have a financial crisis if we don't change course. That has to be the right thing to do for the American economy.
Douglas Holtz Aiken, president of the American Action Forum, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, for more on this story now, let's bring in our regular Monday guest, Julia Coronado, who's chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas, and she's with us live from New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Julia, if there is a deal that comes along with steep spending cuts, as Douglas Holtz Aiken was just talking about, would that satisfy the markets, do you think?
Well, I think the ideal outcome from the market perspective, and also probably from the rating agency perspective, is something that does address the entitlements, as Mr. Holtz Aiken mentioned, and those longer-term structural issues that are just going to get worse and worse, and does so in a credible way, but at the same time doesn't cut too much or raise too many taxes in the near term, because the recovery is fragile. And if you do start shrinking or going back into recession, then that fiscal austerity simply becomes infeasible. So you want to ramp it up gradually, let the economy continue to get its feet under it, and then you can potentially grow your way to pay off these deficits. But you can't bring the hammer down too quickly in the near term.
Julia Coronado, chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas, thanks so much as always.
My pleasure.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
To Australia now, where McDonald's is saying sorry to its customers. Over the weekend, the company launched an ad campaign apologizing for the quality of its coffee. Stuart Cohen has the story now from Sydney.
This cup's for you, complainers. Thanks to you, we've changed to a richer, smoother blend.
McDonald's is better known for its burgers than its quality coffee, but the company's chief operating officer in Australia wants to change that. She says Aussies have a sophisticated palate when it comes to coffee, and McDonald's wasn't pouring a quality brew. So the company has taken the unusual step of apologizing and promising a free cup of coffee to those who remain unhappy. For the few customers actually going into a McDonald's in downtown Sydney for the coffee, the reviews weren't exactly glowing.
Actually, it's not too bad. In comparison to other cafe places, I think it would meet the same standard, and it's a lot cheaper too.
The only problem is that sometimes you got to admit that it's cold. It's not always hot.
McDonald's launched its upscale McCafe coffee shop concept in Australia in 1993. It's now spread across the world, including to the United States. In Sydney, I'm Stuart Cohen for Marketplace.
And finally to Germany, where a Sweet 16 party got a little out of control over the weekend. The birthday girl put out an invitation on Facebook, and 15,000 people RSVP'd yes. Now, more than 100 police officers showed up to disperse the crowds. The birthday girl fled the scene. A police spokesman said, quote, "Unfortunately, she forgot to mark the celebration as private." In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
California is trying to come up with a plan to fix its overcrowded prisons. There's talk of shifting some inmates from state prisons to county jails, but that costs money.
If the funding is not approved, L.A. County cannot provide the necessary beds for the transfer of these inmates.
I'm Tess Vigeland. Arrested plans next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.